Good evening, everybody. Thank you guys for joining us. We have got the wrong finger right there, so we'll get rid of that for us and swap it out for the proper one. Thank you. Right, here's what's been going down today. Manchester United lost to Brighton on the road 3-2. It was a bad performance, Abdul, wasn't it?
Oh, speechless.
Before we get into that, listen, I got a few talking points today, and obviously we got all you guys talking to us on Twitter as well, and we're going to come to you guys in a little bit. But there's a few things that I want to talk about, and we're going to get through to the Instat data and really delve down into why Manchester United was so poor today. Let's have a look at the different stuff that's been going on. So, point one. Now, a lot of you guys know that I've got a Patreon group, and in that Patreon group, I like to drop in any of the little bits of information that I'm getting from the club. There's also a little bit of additional content and stuff in there as well. But anyway, in the middle of the week, I think it was on Wednesday, I posted some of the news that I had. Now, United have been desperately clamouring to deny the talk of unrest, to deny the talk that Paul Pogba wants to leave. And it's very clear that there's a problem. Because United never comment on speculation, ever, did they? They never comment on speculation. So United's response is really intriguing because it's different to what they normally do. Now, I was told on Wednesday that Jose had not reacted well to the news that a director of football was leaked by the club. And I don't think he was happy about missing out on certain targets, but supposedly he was acting like a dick in training, is the word, being really harsh with players, and the camp was not a happy camp over the last week. Now, that can be brushed off usually, I think, sometimes, I feel. But when you add that to the performance that we saw today, I have to say, it did not look like the players wanted to play for Jose Mourinho today. Now, when you've alienated too many figures in the dressing room and the players don't want to play for you, is it time? Is that, plus a couple of other compounding factors, time to go? Is this something that Jose Mourinho can rectify?
Just don't know. I think right now it just doesn't feel like it's a Mourinho side. The players aren't playing for the manager, really, is it? If the players aren't in it for the manager, if the board aren't trusting Mourinho in the transfer market, then why is he still here? Now, I'm not saying I'm Mourinho out or straight away get him out the door and
no,
all that.
And like, can I just say as well, before we get into this, because the title's quite inflammatory, Jose has to go, but I want to caveat that. And I say, listen, if the answers to the questions that I'm going to ask you aren't what we want to hear, then I think he has to go. 100%. But there's things that I want to say, which is, and I want to ask you as well, is now, the group of players, they've seen out David Moyes for the most part, most of these players. They've seen off Jose. They've seen off Louis van Gaal, most of these players, and they're about to see off Jose Mourinho. At what point does a new manager come in and make a massive difference? At what point do these players carry the can for their own poor performances?
I think what we're seeing out there today wasn't just the manager, 100%. Like, I was saying that to you from the 50th minute up to the 90th minute.
You're saying a lot today.
There was no... I was saying a lot. I'm keeping calm now, but... there was no urgency in that team. There was just no urgency in that team for me. I can see three or four players in there that were playing for the shirt, were playing for Mourinho, but half of that side were just sort of, when we were getting the ball on a throw-in, I know it's small things there you notice, but where's the urgency? You're Man United and you're 3-1 down to Brighton.
The mistakes, mate. For the goal, the mistakes was what cost United in this. Yeah. It wasn't, and Jose Mourinho did allude to this in his press conference, and he said it wasn't small mistakes, but it was big mistakes. Big mistakes have cost United, and it's those errors that you don't expect to have many of in a game, but there was a lot of them in today's. It was sloppy. It was unprofessional.
For me, it happens in games. We've seen it happen at Palace away. It's how you pick yourselves up as players. When you play for Man United and you make those mistakes, you know in the second half you've got to prove a point. Otherwise, you might be out of the team. And I didn't see that enough from the players. Go back to the point I was trying to do this just before we got on. And are United, are we becoming just a marketing machine right now, or are we still a football club? Because if they're not trusting Mourinho, then why is he still here? And like I said, I would love Mourinho to stay if he plays in the system he plays, which he gets the results in. But for me, if you aren't trusting him, then you've got to show him the door. Unfortunately, it's on the board. There's things on top of Mourinho that aren't going well.
Well, here's the thing. Jose Mourinho didn't get his targets, but I don't think not getting the targets is an excuse for today's performance, because that 11, this is Brighton that we're talking about, and I'm trying to not be disrespectful to Brighton. I think you've got them tipped to go down. I think I had them tipped just to stay up. I thought it was... Or did they have them just to go down? I can't remember now. But I had them teetering on it. I think Southampton was down, Cardiff was down. I think Brighton might have been the third team that I had going down. This is a team that is going to struggle regardless this season, but they've just beaten Manchester United at home.
They had three shots on target.
And it looked well.
And all of them, they score.
Apart from the fact that they had an extremely high percentage of converted shots, it was comfortable for them.
Yeah.
Because for all the shots that they had on target that went in, how many did we have that didn't? I mean, not many.
We didn't. Every time Pogba picks the ball up, the positioning of where Fellaini was, which is usually where everyone plays around, so he brings it down. There's no one running off him.
So they had no shots.
It was just shocking.
At all in the second half. That's how comfortable it was for them. They had five shots in the first half and they had three on target. They were three goals in at half time. United had five shots in the first half, one on target, four shots in the second half, two on target. Not good enough. Not good enough. I think City had 33 shots today. Now, that was a poor Huddersfield side, agreed. Yeah. But there's a huge, huge, huge difference. Lukaku had a chance early on, he absolutely should have put away. Let's talk about Paul Pogba. Because I thought today, Paul Pogba, wearing a captain's armband, there was an opportunity there for Paul Pogba to really start showing. I thought he had a good performance against Leicester. I thought this is the time now to go and build on it. But that might have been the worst performance I've seen from Paul Pogba in a shirt.
I thought he's the captain. If he wants the captaincy, he's got to turn around to the players. I want to see him, you know, going to them. Listen, we're 3-1 down. Let's get up the pitch. Let's get in the right positions. I didn't see that, unfortunately, from him. I still believe he can have an effect as a captain. He just didn't do it today, unfortunately, man.
So there's a quote from Pogba which says, "The attitude that we have wasn't like we wanted to beat them. I put myself forward primarily. My attitude wasn't good enough. In the first half, we were disappointing. We kept trying. But myself, I was losing a lot of ball." Now that was obviously Paul Pogba himself admitting what was going on. Let's have a look at the data from Paul Pogba and let's see what's going on. So he was all over the pitch a little bit. If you look at the distribution of passes, we haven't got these on the screen for you guys. This is just for us. In the first half, it was very safe. In the second half, that was a little bit more of what you wanted from Paul Pogba. But still, the number one pass distribution from him was back to Lindelof or over to Luke Shaw. He wasn't forcing the ball forward. Let's have a look at his overall stats and see what he did. So he had four shots, two on target, not too bad. Six fouls. We're looking at 81% pass completion, only 38% of his challenges won, a couple of interceptions, turnovers. He had 12 turnovers of the ball as well. I thought this was a very sloppy Paul Pogba today.
Yeah. Obviously, the team around him didn't help today. The movement was absolutely lacking. I thought Jesse Lingard coming on, a bit more energy in the middle, it could have been a lot worse. You know, those are one of the points I wanted to make. Obviously, some of the players that come on are clearly playing for the manager and playing for the shirt. Some people in that team just don't look like they want to be at United right now. And the likes of Jesse Lingard coming on and proving how much he wants to be in that side today, it just shows the difference. It's not everyone's on the same wavelength, I think, in that dressing room. And I think they need to get it sorted quick time.
It's worrying, isn't it? Like, have we got a chance to have a look at the... that's Paul Pogba's actions on the screen there. Can we have a look at the average positions of the players on pitch today? Because I thought this is a much better looking shape. From what we saw last week, United was extremely narrow in this. Now I'm happier with Wan-Mata's position. It's a little bit deeper than you would hope for. Obviously Lukaku leading the line very strongly there. Marshall's hugging that touchline as he does. Young and Luke Shaw pushed up. Good sort of separation there between the two centre-halves. If I had to be a bit critical, the midfield's very on top of itself there. Very on top of itself there. And what we actually saw this early on, if you look at the distance between our midfield and Lukaku, there was so many times that it was a big gap in between the midfield and the attack. And I wonder, is that an issue for Manchester United? But shape-wise, the shape was fine.
The shape looked fine, and especially Martial getting on that touchline. I said to you, Pogba's got all that space in front of him to run into in the first few minutes. I think the mistakes just sort of, you know, you lose the game from then. That's it. As soon as the mentality is not there of you wanting it and to bring back the game, everything goes out the window. You know, the tactics, they don't look the same. The players, they get the ball in the right position. There's no movement in front of them. And that's what happened. I think there's a lineup that Mourinho put out there today, and the players obviously didn't follow what he wanted in the second half, because 40 minutes and no urgency. It only got worse in the second half. And you'd think they would have got a bollock in at half-time off Mourinho. Hopefully.
He switched it up at half-time. What do you see in terms of... Let's have a look, Will, at Give me Andres Pereira, because I thought Pereira was going to be the one that made way. Yeah. And I hope he's not going to be made to be a scapegoat here, because Jose does tend to do that, especially with some of the younger players as well. Now, Pereira's actions there, very much of a number six, not doing the sort of stuff you expect him, not really losing anything, but I thought he was a little bit more lacklustre in defence than we've perhaps seen him. And I wonder if this is giving Jose second thoughts about having a real playmaking number six rather than someone who's a little bit more defensive minded like a Matic.
He's never really had that like sort of playmaking number six. You look at Madrid, Cadeira, I think at Inter it was Mata as well. None of those are playmaking number sixes.
They're very Matic-like.
And obviously, maybe it's a point to prove about Pereira today that he's not the one he wants in there, but we've seen a brilliant performance from Pereira at Leicester away. Personally, I would have, as soon as he notices that, I think I would have put Pogba further up the pitch and sort of a 4-2-3-1, because I thought there was no one in that space. We've seen a lot of space in between the Brighton defence and the midfield, and there was no one in there. And Martial didn't want to drift into, I think, Pogba's space and kept waiting for the ball out wide. And I think that's where we lost the game in the first half. And then from then, the mistakes happened in the back. And Pereira didn't really get any help from the midfielders, unfortunately.
If we go back to the average touch map and obviously what's cracking on there, because in slightly ghosted in, they're not all in red, but you can see what came on then. So we obviously shunted the team around a bit. Marcus Rashford there, a little bit more ahead of where Anthony Martial was. You've got Jesse Lingard there, number 14. He was obviously coming in as a number 10 role. And then a little bit later on, we brought Marouane Fellaini in, obviously chasing the game then, so those players are out. But when you add into this what was going on, it does look more like a 4-2-3-1 when you add in those players from the second half a little bit.
Yeah, the second half, you can see where we were lacking, where Jesse Lingard was making those runs. And it must be so frustrating for someone like Lingard or Juan Mata when they occupy that space and no one's finding the pass for them. Pogba, every time he got the ball, he'd look up to Fellaini. But even when Fellaini actually brought down the ball really well at times, there's no runners off him.
No.
Rashford was on the opposite end. Now, obviously, that might have been instructions. I need you to get on that left side. But for me, the best player to run off you is Marcus Rashford. We've seen it when he gets the goal against Liverpool, when he runs off Lukaku. And for me, I think I would have put them two together, get him running off him, and then Jesse Lingard sort of the free roll in between that midfield and attack. It just looked like there was no tactics in there. It was almost the players were passing the game out. It was almost they didn't... It sounds weird, it's almost they didn't want to win. It was just like they were passing it around. There was no urgency. It's just so surprising to see a team 3-1 down, a team like Manchester United. And then all I was thinking was Palace away last year. And then We spoke about Huddersfield, and Huddersfield was very similar to that. We took until, the 80th minute to look at doing anything. And that's where, for me, are the players playing for United? Are they playing for Mourinho? We're not getting the reaction off them on the pitch.
Well, what do you guys think? We'll come to you guys in the questions in a little bit. At what point is it the end of the road for Jose Mourinho? We got nearly 3,000 people watching, I think. Can we get 1,000 likes? I think you guys can do it. Let's get 1,000 likes and then we'll come to you guys for the full questions. But I just want to know from you guys right now, are you thinking, what is the turning point for Jose Mourinho? Is it now? Do you say, enough's enough now, let's get rid of him and maybe still salvage something from the season? I'm conscious of overreacting here because it's only two games in. But I think there's a serious issue. We wasn't great against Leicester, we got the win. I can live with stuff like that because that's football. There's a lot of mitigating factors what goes into what's going on with United at the moment. Obviously, the World Cup is having a huge hangover. We had a hell of a lot of players involved deep into the World Cup. They're only just coming back. They've been on holiday. There's been no pre-season. All that sort of cohesion and momentum that you want going into the season doesn't exist at Manchester United. So I'm conscious of is that a problem? But then when you hear of what's going on behind the scenes, I find that a massive, massive issue as well. Like I said, when we get to 1,000 likes, we will start hitting you guys up from the questions. But give us some of your good questions, and we'll also check out what's going on Twitter as well. Brandon Allen's asking a good question. How do we line up for Spurs after this? We're going to get to that a little bit once we're a bit later on in the show, but that's a really good question. The players should be playing for the club and their own pride. We'll get to that one a little bit later on as well. So keep hitting the like and subscribe as well if you are new. And let's have a look. I'm just going to have a quick check up. Is there anything else that I would like to be brought up and have a chat about? So we've got the match report there. Off the top of my head, I think Luke Shaw's might be interesting to have a look at.
I thought he was fantastic today, Luke Shaw. I mean, it's weird to say that when the defence concedes three goals, but for all the criticism that he has gotten from some of us.
Not necessarily defending, is it?
Yeah. But the thing is, when you look at the side, we said this in the first few minutes, is it Ashley Young's job to go down the right, Luke Shaw to hang back? Because Mourinho's always like that. He's always had someone like Azpilicueta and sort of Ivanovic, I think, at the time. Has one guy holding back, Ashley Cole at one point at Chelsea, and it always worked well. And I think he was trying that today. Mm. Ashley Young had a couple of chances to get the ball in first time. I wanted to see Ashley Young today to, you know, get used a bit of his crossing on that right side. And unfortunately, he didn't do that for me. So there's no difference for him and Darmian. And we see, I think there's serious problems in that defence. And the fact that the board haven't addressed that is just absolutely shocking for me. Because if they want the titles, they would have addressed that in the summer. If they want to make money, then we're clearly seeing what we're seeing now. Is it just a target to make top four and, you know, to just make the Champions League?
Is
that what it is?
Top four is not a given in this league at the
moment. Yeah, not anymore.
There's a couple of top sides that are going to miss out. Yeah. Luke Shaw's average touch map, as you'd expect there from Luke Shaw, and coming in towards the box as well. I really like that. I like that he's getting involved in there, and obviously that's where he got a little bit of a ricochet in it, but he got an assist from it as well.
He's going
to have a look
confidence.
At Juan Matas. Now, obviously, Juan got hooked at half-time, but this was a very, very quiet performance from Juan Mata. And by his standards, yes, he held his shape better, but there was no involvement.
Usually, Mata shows for the ball in the middle, and it actually works because the defenders seem to drag in and always leave that wide space, and that's why I was initially talking about Ashley Young getting in there. I didn't see that enough of Juan Mata. Is it instructions again to just hold that right wing? For me, he shouldn't be doing that. I know he's playing as a right winger, but you can have Ashley Young as almost a wing back. We're playing against Brighton, you want to be on the ball more. You want to get crosses in the box. Mata, for me, should have drifted in the middle and allowed sort of Ashley Young to occupy that right side and get the balls in first time.
Let's have a look at Ashley Young's stats, actually. Let's have a look at Ashley Young's average touches. And obviously, he's heavily involved in our half. Not really enough in the final third. If we compare that to, we haven't got it to hand, but if you compare that to what we saw from Willian, as we were talking in the preview, you wanted someone that could deliver something. Now, obviously, you're going to say Ashley Young is a right back. Willian was playing as a right forward in that game. But the point stands, because if you pull up Anthony Marshall's, let's have a look at Anthony Marshall's, you see how right through the middle Anthony Marshall's is. He's not looking, doesn't look like, you couldn't tell from that was a forward or a
he
forward.
Wasn't showing, was he? And for me, there's so much going on and not at the same time. Like, you can't see what the plan was in that first half. I was looking for Martial on the pitch, and I really wanted him to hug that line there, because Sanchez doesn't do that enough. He always drives into Pogba's space in the middle. And for me, Martial just didn't get the ball enough. Should have maybe been Pogba's job to give the ball to Martial more, find him more. And that's where, when Juan Mata sort of drifts in the middle, he finds those passes to the likes of Martial, and then it spreads the play. Juan Mata against Leicester, we can see that he hasn't got the best amount of pace, or he can't really run that fast anymore. But when he gets into the middle, he's got an eye for a pass, obviously, and he was doing that against Leicester, and we just didn't see it from him today.
Right, so we asked for some questions under the hashtag United Review on Twitter, and Martin Herild says, do we have a problem travelling to the south of London? Feel like we had this problem last season too. What do you reckon? That's not a bad shout, actually. Is it something, the fact that I think we travel on train for most of these ones?
Plane, train, I don't know. But I think they took a plane to Brighton, but I don't know. It shouldn't really be a reason, should it? You go European away, you get the job done. It doesn't matter. South of London, Newcastle, it just doesn't matter wherever you go. You're a team that's used to travelling, getting around. You should be getting the job done.
They should be used to that as
well.
Yeah,
staffed excuse.
Right, loads of people, apparently. Who are the options if Jose is sacked?
Zinedine Zidane.
Zinedine Zidane's a very obvious one, obviously, with what he's done with Real Madrid. But I'm going to say to you, mate, you manage Real Madrid.
Yeah.
Let's look at that. That back four is better than Manchester United's back four.
100%.
Sergio Ramos is a genuine leader, a guy that fills a captain's armband out. Look at that midfield. That midfield...
Just pure class everywhere.
Struggle to fantasy football pick a better midfield.
Varane, Ramos, Marcelo, Carvajal, obviously, of recent time, the last 3 or 4 years, they've been playing together for 7 years, almost 7 years together, and they've got used to that back four, and they're all almost the best in that position in world football. Obviously, it's a much easier job being at Madrid, that's a given, but do you want to get to Zidane before someone like Juventus? We saw Juventus' performance yesterday. It was very disappointing against a team like Chievo. He couldn't get the best out of someone like Ronaldo. If Allegri gets the sack, Zidane goes there first, what are your other options?
Then you're struggling for options.
Exactly.
But even if you did get Zidane, we don't have Ronaldo. They obviously, Real Madrid no longer have Ronaldo as well. I think from Benzema, I mean, we haven't got a Bale. We've got Benzema, or arguably an upgrade on Benzema. Yeah. But we don't have a Ronaldo, we don't have a Bale, we don't have a midfield that is as good as Real Madrid's. I think United have got the basis of a good midfield, but that is a great midfield. And I don't think our defence competes. I think the only area that was stronger than him is goalkeeper.
For me, maybe.
And on today's viewing, that could be argued.
For me, maybe, obviously, like, it might just be bringing that positive vibe into the club that we don't, that we clearly don't have right now. Someone like Pogba, imagine having Zidane. Obviously, Pogba's been growing up going to be watching Zidane as, you know, that top player in France, that midfielder. He almost wants to mould himself into that Paul Pogba. Imagine someone like Zidane coming in, someone like Martial, who needs an arm around him.
But can he do it with this squad?
I think he can. Can he do better than what he did today?
He did amazing in the Champions League, but he didn't do great. He didn't do, I mean, obviously he's up against the Barcelona side, but he didn't do great.
Can it get worse than that, though, today?
Yeah, I think it can get worse than that today.
With someone like Zidane?
I mean, that was a low point, but I think that you could have consistently low points. We had several of those under Moyes.
What I've noticed with Zidane, though, when he lays out his team, is straight up, you play in your position. And that's what he did really well when he bought Casemiro in. And I was waiting to see that from someone like Zidane, because they were clearly lacking a defensive midfielder. I know it's just simple saying defensive midfielder and defensive midfield. And that's something that Mourinho struggles with sometimes. He isn't playing the players in their positions. I know obviously we're lacking in that. He didn't get the backing of someone like I said earlier. But sometimes he has got the options to play Luke Shaw at left back. I'm not talking about the season, but I'm talking the past two seasons. And he hasn't done that. And he's stuck to Ashley Young. And even when Luke Shaw had that run of form, just play a left back at left back. And simple as that, Zidane sets his team up in their right positions. And the striker puts him in his right position. Get someone to play off him. Benzema, Ronaldo, we've seen them do really well together. Can he do that with Rashford and Lukaku, or Martial and Lukaku, Sanchez and Lukaku? I think Lukaku would be much Sanchez would be much better in central earlier of someone like Lukaku. And what I've seen at Madrid was the pressure that they create from midfield. Someone like Pereira controlling the play in the Cruz sort of role. Fred can be a bit more aggressive, obviously, in there, and Pogba. I think he can do all right with that midfield.
Some of the comments here saying Pochettino. Now, before we get into Pochettino, we are literally a handful of people shy of 3,000. So that's awesome. Thank you guys for coming and joining us. But we're still only on just over 500 likes. So please get smashing that like button. We get to 1,000 and then we're going to come into the questions from you guys in the comments. Now, Pochettino, I've got to say, the 11 of Spurs, on paper at least, is better than the 11 of United. But they struggle against us. Now, obviously, they beat us at Wembley. But we beat them in the FA Cup semi-final, and we also beat them at Old Trafford, and we finished above them. So what is the demand for Pochettino?
I think if they get Pochettino in, it's a slight worry in terms of maybe Ed Woodward wants that guy who's just going to not use that much of a budget and is just going to keep our heads in that top four. And that's where the worry comes in. Is that the reason that Ed Woodward wants him? Because that shouldn't be the reason at Manchester United. The reason is to come in, get the titles, the Champions League. Best?
It shouldn't be who's going to do us a job.
There isn't that many options, and that's why obviously when I see Zidane and Madrid, and when they have struggled in games, they always find a way. And I think that's what we're struggling with right now. Like today's performance, between the 50th minute and 90th minute, I'll go back to that. There's nothing, it's bland. There's just nothing going on in midfield. There's no energy. You see Marcelo flying down that wing. Obviously, Marcelo's different class to anyone that we've had since pretty much ever. And pretty much, I think him giving him that freedom of going forward, maybe he allows Luke Shaw to get a bit more comfortable going forward and get the ball into the box. We saw him put a couple of crosses in that were doing all right today. And I think we might miss someone like Zidane. Just a pure winner. Maybe he has that in him. Is it a gamble? It's a big gamble, obviously. In my opinion, if it doesn't go well with Mourinho, you've got about two. If you want Mourinho gone, the board, you've got 2 weeks to get someone in like Zidane.
Yeah, 2 weeks, you think it's that
for me,
short?
2 weeks. You can't leave it too long. We're speaking about inside. I said it as a joke. Are you going to see McKenna or Carrick take over mid-season? Because that's what will happen. Zidane isn't going
to
come into.
I think that's what the board would do. To be honest,
Zidane's not going to come into a team that's 8th or 9th, or could be even worse if it goes totally wrong. So they've got to save it from now. The board have got to make their mind up.
Where was Madrid when he took over from Rafa?
I think it was. They were still up there. Obviously, you're in Spain. The games are a lot easier. But I think they were struggling against... I remember the last game that Rafa had was Valencia, and they were struggling around that fourth-ish, third-place area, which isn't good enough for that Madrid side. Definitely not good enough in Spain and the quality of football there.
Jack wrote in the comments, they're saying Leonardo Jardim. Now, Jardim is my preferred choice if I was to go out and get someone now. I think that is a man that has got a defined style of play, because I think for what Zidane's achieved, he's achieved it with counter-attacking football, with an incredible midfield still. So I think when people just go, Zidane was playing amazing, I say you haven't watched Real Madrid.
A lot of people, though, doubt what Zidane do. Yes, he does it dirty, but at times, and it's just a cross in the box. But Mourinho isn't getting the best out of some of those players there.
No, absolutely guaranteed he isn't.
And I can see Zidane just coming in and say, that's your position, Paul Pogba. I'm going to play left side of that midfield three, and we're going to create something. Might take a couple of months to get it sorted, but I know what I want, and I don't feel like Mourinho's doing that. I feel like he tampers with the wrong positions at times. We're talking about how Spurs have a better line. When you look at a strong 11, Spurs do have a stronger 11 because they've got the players in position.
But Pochettino hasn't proven himself as a winner. So if he was creating a shortlist, is Pochettino on it?
I think Pochettino has to be on it. He's still a quality
manager. I think
he's probably
on it, even though I have my reservations about what he's won.
Yeah.
I definitely think he's on that list. I think Zidane is probably very high up on that list. Jardim, as I said, is probably my number one on that list. Yeah. Is there anybody else that you think that should be in consideration? Because it is the problem that I have. Like, I'm not. I know the title's very strong, but I'm not sitting here saying Jose Mourinho has to go. I'm saying I don't think there's the answer that I want to hear to a lot of questions. And if that's the case, then I struggle to be able to go.
People look at it in the way where it's Jose Mourinho. It's just Mourinho. It's just the players. There's a lot more going on at the club. And we know there's a lot more going on. Some of those players aren't happy. Not everyone's settled in that team. We've not got the right players in the right positions, like I said. There's just loads going on at the same time, and it just feels like a sinking ship.
Let's talk about the defence, because Luke Shaw looking good. If we give him Man of the Matches out for today's performance, and I wouldn't, Luke Shaw probably would be the recipient of United's, at least. Bailey and Lindelof, too many mistakes to make it happen?
I spoke about this earlier about buying Lindelof. I think you just got to trust your partnerships. And I think it goes down to, again, having someone like an actual right back there. Antonio Valencia, for me, even though I didn't really rate his performances towards the end of last season, a lot of that was because we didn't have the right partnerships next to him. And sometimes you might not be the best defender in that back line, but when the defenders next to you are there, the right ones, then you'll look a lot better. If Valencia comes into that back four, I think he'll settle them down a lot more, and he'll be obviously way more solid than what Ashley Young's performance was today.
Keep liking the video, everybody. We're very close to the 1,000 likes, and then we're going to get stuck straight into the comments. I mean, we're still pulling the comments out a little bit. Now, Ian says, is it a board issue? I think it very much is a board issue. I think there's a lot of issues at Manchester United at the moment, and I think a director of football solves a few of them. If not, I don't think it solves all of them, certainly, and I think that... I when I heard the news that there was a director of football going to be appointed at Manchester United, I thought this is something that Jose's greenlit because he's seen how bad the window was, in his opinion, and he's gone, get me a director of football. That's someone who then I just palm all that lot off and he goes and sorts it. The reaction that I'm hearing coming from outside, coming from in the club, makes me think that actually this isn't something Jose wanted, and actually it's the opposite. Jose did not want this, which is crazy, I think. There's a comment here I want to leave. So Payman says, you're basically saying that Zidane will come in and allow the player to be bigger than the club. Mourinho is wanting to win for United. The players all have their own prerogative. I'm not sure. I think you're putting words in people's mouths there, to be honest with you, mate.
I think there's another point I wanted to make about Zidane, and I think the way he handles the press is brilliant, and I've seen that from him. It's straightforward. He knows when to take it on, and he knows when to take the blame. He doesn't go for players in the press. He had his problems with Bale. He didn't go for Bale when he sat there. Obviously, he wasn't too comfortable with having Bale in that starting 11 every week. He was coming off the bench a lot. And the quality that Bale has, again, we look at like the likes of Martial, who's got bags of potential, bags of quality. He wasn't getting the side. Mourinho doesn't handle the press well enough. Obviously, they go for him. They attack him a lot more. It's expected. If Zidane comes in, they definitely won't go for Zidane as much as Mourinho. I think it's just all around the negativity from the media, the negativity from inside the club. It's just not helping. And again, I think they've got a 2-week period now where they've got to look at themselves, the board. Is Mourinho the man we trust? And again, when I say, do I want Mourinho out? that's not really the case. But if the club aren't trusting him, then they've got to let him go.
And at what point do you say that they aren't trusting him when they didn't back him in the transfer window?
I think that...
What are Ed Woodward's qualifications to decide who comes... Jose Mourinho is the highest paid football expert at the club. Surely that he should be given the role of choosing who he comes in. There shouldn't be a discussion. If you're Ed Woodward and I'm Jose Mourinho, I go, that's who I want. And you go, okay. You don't go, well, I've been playing footy manager, Jose. And it'd be like, what? Shut your mouth. That's who I want. That's how it should go down.
You know how I feel it is? It's like, he wanted Perisic. All right. These are then offered him Alexis Sanchez. We spoke about this before. Alexis Sanchez might have been an option that Mourinho wanted because of how hard he works on a pitch. Mm. So he does look like a style that Mourinho might like. But he did want Perisic over the last two seasons. He's probably looked, Ed Woodward's looked at him, he's gone, he's not going to get us the money in commercially. Why am I going to look at him? Look at our last few signings.
Do you know what does bring you money in commercially? Winning stuff.
Exactly. And they don't see it in that sense. You look at City and obviously when you look back at the documentary they've done and the hype around the club, obviously you've got to look at the way they're going on about it. Obviously they've dished out a lot of money and improved the side drastically and put it on to the next level. We're not asking for that. I think we're just asking to get the right players in the right positions, and the club can't even manage to get that done at Manchester United. It's
we're almost at 1,000 likes, a little bit of a push, another 100 people giving us the likes out of this 3,500 watching you. Literally, not even one in three of you need to just go and hit, not even that, it's like one in 30 of you need to just come and hit like, and then we're done. My maths is terrible, don't you worry about it. Finishing fourth brings in money, says Benny Walsh. Unfortunately, now this came out a long time ago that the club, it leaked a long time ago. The club are obviously going to put this in an official statement. That the club are happy for fourth because it fulfills all our sponsorship duties. And the cost to stay fourth might be 50 million a season-ish. Whereas the cost to become champions might be more like 200.
Yeah. I was chatting to one of my mates last night about it actually. And we were speaking about it at the start of last season. And I said this summer right now is where it's make or break for United. I think this summer shows the way United will go maybe for even the next 5-10 years.
And
exactly. And I was just waiting. I was like, "Is there anything going to happen in this transfer window?" We started it off with Dalot and Fred.
Fred, it looked quite bright.
And I thought, you know what? Good signings. They don't look like just commercial signings, and they look like maybe Mourinho signings. Is the budget that Mourinho's getting 50 million or 60 million for your own signings? But we'd rather. We were speaking about Varane the other day. Apparently, there was an offer of 100 million in there. I think that's true. I think they're willing to put 100 million in for someone like Varane.
Which is maddening.
Which is mad. And Varane, in my opinion, most complete centre-back out there.
But it seemed like fanciful. But it seemed like it was a player that was never going to leave Real Madrid to come to us.
That's what I'm saying. It can't just be the reason for commercial. So why, you can't just look
so
at
why is that 100 million there for that player, but not there for that player?
So 100
it's not
million.
Even 100 million. We wanted 65 or so for Toby Alderweireld.
So they've asked for Toby Alderweireld or Maguire, which I would have loved to come in into that side. Both of those solid defenders.
100 million, plus whatever you're paying on top for an agent, plus wages for a genuine superstar in Varane. What are you looking? Grand, like 150-ish million, we're all in. How much is Willian and Alderweireld going to cost you? That kind of ballpark. So you get two players for the price of one. And you definitely improve
that squad. We look back at addressing the problems as well. We're not just talking about those two centre-backs. Obviously, Luke Shaw's coming to the side, but Alexandro, I reckon Juventus might have took 65, 70 million after the spending they've had this summer. We've not even attempted that, clearly, from what we're hearing. We've not even attempted to go in for a 60, 70 million player. No. Ryan Sessegnon at Fulham, they might have been lured by 50, 60 million.
I think we inquired, and I think we were told that he didn't fancy it. Now, there was a lot of talk pre-transfer window about players that we fancied. Milinkovic-Savic was a player that United wanted. I think they was put off by the price. Obviously, when I'm hearing things, I'm hearing one side, I'm hearing the club side. So the club's like, I think we're going to go and try and get that guy.
Yeah.
They didn't agree the fee. Toby Alderweireld was sold. Toby wants it. United want it. You're like, that seems like a deal that we can do. And the way it went down, obviously, it was a deal we was trying to do. Sessegnon, we was like, we want him. He is a priority for us. But we think he wants to stay in London. So that one was never going to come off.
Yeah. It's just frustrating overall. That summer just dampened, I think, the start of the season. And the result like that was the last thing we needed today, at the start of the season.
It's not even a result, mate. You can have a result like that with a better performance and it doesn't feel as bad, but the performance stank the place out. We have got 1,000 likes, so Abdul, I'm going to let you come and pick some of these questions that people are throwing in here and we will read out some of these questions. Owen says, Mourinho can't attract the top players anymore. It's not the board's fault. Now, there was talk the likes of Kovacic had turned United down and didn't want to come and play for us. There might be some truth to us.
I think with the Kovacic thing, it's a deeper. I think with he'll probably look at who's starting in that side. He'll probably look at Fred coming in, Matic, Pogba, Pereira, Fellaini in there, and he's going to go, is Mourinho going to want me to be in that mix? Is he going to trust me over three or four of those? Because the reason he's leaving Madrid is because he's not starting every week, because he has got a bit of minutes for Madrid at least. He's come on in some big games for them, unfortunately, but I think we just got to get it sorted next summer. If it goes down this route again, it's like I expected.
Eric Caguilla in the comments says, Diego Simeone. What about... See, this Diego Simeone one I never understand, because people's gripe about Mourinho is the style of play, style of play, style of play. The amount of times we hear that, style of play didn't matter until about 2 years ago. No one cared. Yeah. Nobody cared.
The same people asking for Diego Simeone are the people asking for Mourinho to be sacked for playing defensive football. It's not just simple as throwing the words defensive football like that. I think there's a lot more tactical meaning in that, and there's a lot more going on. For me, Diego Simeone plays in the dirtiest way you can play, but he gets the job done.
That's a good question there from Sidvich. What are the chances Mourinho turns this around? Now, let's try and be positive on this one. Yeah. This is Jose Mourinho. I'm struggling to be positive, I've got to be honest with you, because when I hear that the dressing room don't want it, when the players are sick and tired of the guy, that's when I think that you probably do have to consider letting the guy go. Because if... When I interviewed Martin Edwards, he said the players liked Fergie. You could see the positivity, and it just wasn't working. But everybody was still pulling in the same direction. Yeah. There was a goal, there was a mission, and even though some of the football under Fergie in those first three seasons was turd, there was a feeling of going somewhere.
Yeah.
Now, if the players don't like the manager anymore and the players are refusing to play for him, now, I don't think the players should be allowed to get off this here scot-free, but at what point can you back a man
like
that
I said,
doesn't
you
back himself?
You see the reaction. You see the reaction of that on the pitch. And like I said, what frustrates me the most in there when we were watching it was it's the lack of urgency. And if the players really wanted it and were playing for the right manager, just like they did towards the end against Palace and City towards the end of the season, if the players were in that mindset, we would have pulled that game back. Simple as that.
Oh, God, yeah.
With the quality that we got on the pitch.
Like we said, I'm trying not to be disrespectful
to Brighton.
It was almost
so passive. It was so passive in midfield. For me, if we would have gone for that, hit the post a couple of times, come close, the keeper has a good performance, then maybe we have a different thought here and I'd be frustrated that we didn't get the result. But obviously, we can pick ourselves up. But it's the reaction of the players on that pitch and we're not getting the right reaction right now.
There's a good question here from somebody saying... I've just lost it. I'm going to add a little bit. Basically, they were saying, like, why is it the manager's fault that players don't create chances and this, that, and even on the pitch? I think that's a very, very valid question. Yeah. I think there's just a bit more to it. I think that when you feel like the players aren't doing it because there's an issue with the manager. Now, he was playing a couple of players there that we know for a fact he's fell out with. That can't be great in the dressing room. That Anthony Martial, I fully expect he'll go. Before the
after this especially, I think he's gone. 100%. Someone saying Giggsy.
There's a lot of people saying Giggsy. Blanc also being mentioned in the comments.
I didn't really like Blanc.
Poontang says United are worse than AC Milan right now. United are struggling at the moment. Yeah. I think that's a very valid point, that United are struggling. I don't think it is all rosy at the moment. And it didn't feel rosy going into the season. It didn't feel rosy going into the season. Lack of desire, says Anil. I got faith in Lukaku, says Law. I did... Today wasn't a good game from the big fellow, though, to be completely honest with the guy.
When we're talking about showing for that pass, he wasn't doing that enough. He might, like we're talking about, some of those players are coming back from the World Cup rusty. We look at City earlier on in the day, the options they had of bringing in. And that's where, out of that City documentary, we saw that Pep, and I think it was a brilliant part that they showed, where Pep gets into the boardroom and they're chatting with the director and what are the targets. He lays out the targets. That's what I want. For me, United aren't doing that. They're sitting with Mourinho and going, he's gone, I want Mendy, for example, last summer. And they've gone, how much money is he going to make for us commercially? How much Nike are going to do work on that and hype it all up and this and that?
Well, you've also got to
football,
throw this into
and that's the problem.
Like, we signed Paul Pogba. That gets put into Jose's net spend thing.
Yeah.
And you say, right, if Jose... I'm struggling for the word, so I want to phrase this. Essentially, Paul Pogba was signed for Jose without Jose getting the say-so in that. That was a £90 million player. They was like, there you go. Now, Paul Pogba's a wonderful footballer, but that might be a source of the issues that Jose Mourinho has with the player. He's like, I didn't want this guy in the first place, and I have to play him. That might be the root of all the friction. Nah. Because I think it came out not long after Paul Pogba was signed. Ed Woodward said this is a deal they've been working on for 2 years. Man, that means it was the end of the Moyes season.
You weren't thinking of Mourinho in those 2 years.
No, you had the whole reign of Louis van Gaal that means you was working on it for. And then Jose Mourinho comes in. You're like, there's a £90 million player. You better say that you've wanted him forever. And I wonder how many of our bigger signings are like that. Obviously, the night I saw Paul Pogba getting signed and mentioned to Lukaku, up your next, mate. And they all laughed. How long was that deal in the pipeline? Is that another deal that was in the pipeline even before Mourinho came? And when he come, did the board go, we've just signed Paul Pogba, next summer you're getting Lukaku, and he's gone. Right, okay.
I had Lukaku at Chelsea. Did I really want him there? It's not, by the way, this isn't my view of these players. It's the view of, is Mourinho getting what he wants? Because it's a level of trust between the board and the manager and the players. There's a whole lot going on at United, and it's like the Arsenal question. Was it deeper than Arsene Wenger? Yes, and we are seeing that right now. Unai Emery should have got more backing.
Yep.
And obviously I'm moving on to talking about Arsenal because we're seeing this with similar situations.
But we started with ourselves
right now. Because right now we're seeing it, and I've been seeing this coming for the past 2 seasons, to be honest. A lot of our fans think the Glazers are just there dashing out the money. But really, they're posing debt. They didn't trust Ferguson at times.
Right, I am going to wrap it up there. United have been absolutely humbled by Brighton. Congratulations to Brighton on a famous victory for them guys today. It might be enough to keep you up getting 3 points like that, especially the confidence that it does. It unveiled a lot of problems for Manchester United. But anyway, thank you guys for joining us. Go check out Abdul's channel. Give him a shout. Where are we going?
Yeah, Abdul Gallo. I've put myself in the comments as well. Catch my vlogs and that.
Go check out some of Abdul's content. Thank you guys for joining us. Please subscribe if you're new around here. We've got Jamie Jackson coming for a podcast this week. We've also got Tony Park, Manchester United youth author and historian, coming for a youth review. And obviously we've got a big game next week, which might suck. Tottenham at home on Bank Holiday Monday. We'll be back again after that. So if you want to come and join us for the United review, it'll be about an hour after the game. Thank you guys for tuning in. Let's hope it doesn't suck as badly as that in the future. We'll see you in the next one.